Blog Talk Radio.
I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own.
This is breaking news just in. The change has finally come. You can hear the voices on the corner shouting, positive news is here today. Positive news every day for the rest of our lives.
I feel a change is coming. We'll be the change that's coming. Let's change perspective and be effective. We'll impact the world one story at a time. Believe it, achieve it, there's a story to be told. Positive news is here today. Positive news is here to stay. I feel the change is coming. We are the change that's coming. We'll find the positive, replace the negative. We'll see the ripples affect the world one story at a time. Believe it, achieve it, there's a story to be told. Positive news is here today. Positive news is here to stay. I feel a change is coming. We are the change that's coming. One person at a time, our thoughts will align. We'll see the universe flow, one story at a time. Believe it, achieve it, there's a story to be told. Positive news is here today. Positive news is here to stay. I feel a change is coming. Change is coming, believe it, achieve it, there's a story to be told. Positive news is here today. Positive news is here to stay. We'll be the change that's coming. We'll see the change that's coming. We are the change that's coming.
We are the change, and we are who we are, walking in spirit. Every moment, every day, living our purpose, whatever that might be. This is Purpose Talk Radio. I am your host, Cindy Freeman. And today is Friday, July 24th, 2015. The topic for today is going to be a little bit different. On July 26th, we celebrate the 25th anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act. And what I'd like to share with you is some of that history, some of where things have come, how it's impacted my life, how hopefully some of the callers who have said they'd call in do call in and share with themselves. What does it mean today? 25th anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act, and what does it mean today? For some people, it's helped. For some people, it's made their lives harder because it's had employers pay extra to hire them and allow them to work. And yet it's allowed them to work and live in a society in America with equal accommodations so that their surroundings, their environment is safe for them and that they are able to work, bring in an income, not live constantly on Social Security disability or any other type of government funds, or at least minimally. So that's the main topic and the piece of it. Before I do that, though, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about Purpose Talk Radio. It is the show where our guests talk about their purpose, how they came to know what it is, how they came to achieve it, and hopefully a suggestion for you and how you can live your purpose as well. The reason I'm doing this topic is because the Americans with Disabilities Act has allowed many people to be able to live their purpose in America. For those of you in overseas this time, I know it doesn't impact you, and this time I've taken a little bit of liberty being over here in the States to talk about it. But if you have had, even if you are part of this and have a disability or know people that have had one over the years and have had to figure out how to work, live, dream, I'd love for you to weigh in too, because we'd like to know what other countries do or don't do compared to what we do over here in the United States. The first song that you heard is called I Am Who I Am. It is by the group True Trinity. The vocalist there was Jillian Clark, one of the co-writers with me, as well as our third co-writer is Rachel Grace. And you can find their songs and their information at the website truetrinity.com, TRUETRINITY.com. To find out more about Purpose Talk Radio, we have a Facebook page called Purpose Talk Radio. We have a website at PurposeTalkRadio.com, PurposeTalkRadio.com. There is information about how to be a guest, who some of our past guests have been, links to our past shows, all of that wonderful information. If you'd like to be a guest on our show, please feel free to send me an email at Cindy, C-I-N-D-Y, at PurposeTalkRadio.com. And we can schedule that for you, or if you know someone who might make a great guest. Our show this week is brought to you by and sponsored by Diane Dandino. And she was here last week and will be here again next week as she talks about a workshop that she offers, Find Their Purpose, Live Their Dream, Know What It Is, all that wonderful stuff. Last week she talked about her career and wearing many different hats, including currently a musician as well as a coach. We'll talk a little bit more about what she has to offer and about her programs next week. Let me see here. Oh, the other part that I must talk to you about is the second song that you heard is Positive News Day theme song. And positive, because July is Positive News Month, Positive News Day. It was created 3 years ago, kind of out of a tongue-in-cheek thing that said, oh, we're going to have Positive News Month in July, when I was writing for a magazine on Facebook. And I had friends that, you know, don't let me get away with much, which is good, because I don't let them get away with much either. When you put that energy out to the universe and you say you want something to happen, you know, there are people that will hold you accountable. And my friends did. So we started up 3 years ago just sending some press releases to news media, asking them to focus directly in July, and specifically July 15th, on positive news. And each year that has grown, where there are a few more positive news outlets. This year we were interviewed on WTMJ 620 radio, AM radio in Milwaukee, and asked to share about positive news. That interview will be on the Positive News Media website as well as the Facebook page this weekend as we start to close out the month. Positive News Media on Facebook. And then we have a website that's a little more of a magazine format, and we are looking for contributors of that as well. And that is at positivenewsmedia.org. So feel free to drop by, share your positive news links and things that you hear and see all over the world on that site and on that Facebook page. We would just love it. Because ultimately, the goal is to not just have a positive news month, but to have positive news shared all the time. And I hope that Purpose Talk Radio is among the positive news that you listen to on a regular basis, because I do try to bring good things and motivating information to all of you each week. That song that was a positive news theme song, again, was sung by Jillian Clark. You can also find that on the positivenewsmedia.org website in the sidebar. Let me see any other pertinent information on that. I don't think so. Now, if you would like to participate in this show, there are several ways that you can do that. The first one is to scroll down to the chat room that is on the Blog Talk Radio show page, if you are there. I see we have Ren right there today, and I know there will be a couple more people that will pop in there during the show. If you'd like to speak or make comment during the show, feel free to put that in the chat room, but I would prefer you do that live. And, of course, you can do that by Skyping in if you have Skype and a Blog Talk Radio account. Otherwise, you can, and the Skype icon is right next to the phone number on the show page. Or you can call in at 347-205-9074. Again, the phone number is 347-205-9074. The other piece that I am just about to put up is over on the Facebook page, Purpose Talk Radio Conversations. And now the difference between the show chat room and the Facebook page is that once the show's over, oh well, all those comments go away. Instead, if we have the Purpose Talk, if you're on Purpose Talk Radio Conversations and you catch this show in the archive, you can very easily go in and do the and participate in the chat room afterwards. That's the one that we use for the chat room. So, okay, I think all of that is the logistics of this, as I put this last piece in there. Boy, I just realized something that last week I may have had. Oh, I see what I did. There's always something that has to be changed. now, we are again airing from Sharehouse Goods Coffee and Amazon store over here in Milwaukee, and I appreciate their time. So occasionally you'll hear some tape going or something. Just know, you know, it makes it a really wonderful, homey atmosphere here because I can just sit on this wonderful chair in the air conditioning, Wi-Fi, and talk to you all from the comfort of any place I want to be rather than sitting in, like, you know, McDonald's or something like that. You know, maybe someday we'll find be able to get Wi-Fi at home or something, but just not quite yet. You know, those things they want things called, you know, money or, you know, whatever. Want all these wires? I don't like wires at home. So anyway, so that's where we are with that. Now what we would like to talk about is the Americans with Disabilities Act. I originally became acquainted with this act back when I was in college, and I can't remember if I was a sophomore or a junior in school. But I found out about the act, and I found out that the post office in Whitewater, Wisconsin, was not accessible to people in wheelchairs. Can you imagine a post office where people can't go in to buy their stamps and send out their mail without having to ask someone else to go get them, or to do, you know, they couldn't go in to ask any questions, get a zip code, like you and I could. And I knew there was some law that said, hey, this isn't right, that anyone getting government money had to provide accommodations for folks with any kind of disability. Today, that means braille signs on walls. It means providing a sign language interpreter if had to. It means, you know, sharing whatever. If someone's in using a cane, a white cane, that, you know, the streets are safe. All that kind of stuff is involved in the Americans with Disabilities Act. Now, the problem at that time, like I said, is that there were cement stairs on the front and the back, and people in wheelchairs could not get in. And some of those people were trying to put a court case against the post office. So it was one of my first, you know, real major investigative stories. Unfortunately, what I discovered in that search is that the post office did not have to, because they were grandfathered in. Imagine that. One of the main government agencies did not have to provide the accommodation because it would cost them too much to be able to provide them. Now, the other interesting piece of that is that they were making they were renovating the post office. And one would have thought that while they were doing that, they could have made it accessible, right? Somehow they were able to get around it. And I don't think even today that post office is yet accessible. I know many others around the United States are. And I am grateful to see that. But for some reason, that one wasn't, and probably never will be. It was, like I said, cement, rocks, a stone, heavy stone, exterior, all that. So, yeah. Now, I would like to share a little bit about the history of the Americans with Disabilities Act with you. And a lot of my research, my information is coming from the ADAanniversary.org page. And people are being asked to support that. You know, this past week, the president, President Obama, made a statement regarding ADA. And that, you know, as of yet, we still do not exactly have full accessibility. And, you know, like I just shared, we know why and how and some of that. And we wonder if anything will be changing over the years because of his statement. Or if we will still have to continue to create things as they come up. You know, my future career of being a sign language interpreter is one example. We are at a point where, again, anyone receiving funding, doctors, lawyers, government agencies, if someone requests a sign language interpreter, one must be provided for them at the cost to the doctor's office or the or the other agency. Now, we've got a lot of people that say, that means I have to hire two people when I hire an employee. Well, to some extent, yes, that would be the case. You know, you might be surprised at, in the long run, how much more work will get done, because the person you are hiring will feel that they can fit in, will be able to communicate with coworkers and be able to be a part of everything else that's happening. I'm a little froggy here. I am going to, just because I have the opportunity to do it, I am going to once again share with you our positive news theme song. While I grab something to drink, I apologize. So here you are, folks.
This is breaking news just in. The change has finally come. You can hear the voices on the corner shouting, positive news is here today. Positive news every day for the rest of our lives.
I feel a change is coming. Will be the change that's coming. Let's change perspective and be effective. We'll impact the world one story at a time. Believe it, achieve it, there's a story to be told. Positive news is here today. Positive news is here to stay. I feel the change is coming. We are the change that's coming. We'll find the positive, replace the negative. We'll see the ripples affect the world one story at a time. Believe it, achieve it, there's a story to be told. Positive news is here today. Positive news is here to stay. I feel a change is coming. We are the change that's coming. One person at a time, our thoughts will align. We'll see the universe flow, one story at a time. Believe it, achieve it, there's a story to be told. Positive news is here today. Positive news is here to stay. I feel a change is coming. Change is coming. Believe it, achieve it, there's a story to be told. Positive news is here today. Positive news is here to stay. We'll be the change that's coming. We'll see the change that's coming. We are the change that's coming.
Welcome back to the Purpose Talk Radio. Okay, I apologize for that, but I was not able to speak anymore. I needed to grab a beverage to be able to share the rest of this show with you. And it looks like I lost one of our call-in folks, so hopefully he will call back again in a little bit. share his experience with you. So, okay, first of all, a couple of things on this. You know, the ADA was originally put into effect, or it was being spoken about back in 1986, and then a little bit more it was introduced to the Congress in 88. You know, that was the 100th Congress, which is interesting, just the numbers and the way things work on that. It was then revised again the following year. It took those 3 years to actually get it passed in the House in 1990, and hence why we are celebrating the 25th anniversary today. It has been modified. It's been changed to add pieces to it. Every year there seems to be some little piece that's tacked onto it that helps people who have disabilities. back originally in 1991, the areas that were impacted the most were employment, state and local governments, public accommodations, and telecommunications, the phone systems. In 92, it looked at organizations that had more than 25 employees, different titles, different areas. In 94, it went down to organizations that had less or over 15 employees. So it was able to change that a little bit. In 2010 is where we started looking at some regulations on transportation. And that, I think, has been probably the biggest change for people that I have seen over time, in that we are able to make cars so folks who are in wheelchairs are able to drive with the modifications in their vehicles. I know I've got a friend who has had a couple of different vans who, you know, in a normal vehicle couldn't reach the pedals. But because of ADA and because of being able to get the accommodations in his car, he's no longer restricted and told, oh, you can't drive because you can't reach them. Instead, what he's required to do is have the accommodation. That's part of his driver's license, too, is that, you know, of course, because he can't reach the normal driving. I've got a friend who is, what is it called? I'm sorry, paraplegic. Their legs don't work from polio. And yet she also is able to drive because all of the pieces are on the steering column and the steering wheel for her, the brake, the gas, and she uses her hands instead as her feet. You know, so we have come a long way from people being told they can't do something to finding ways that they can do something. If you'd like, if you've been impacted either as an employer, employee, or any other ways of dealing with folks with the disability, or you yourself have been part of that, please do give us a call again at 347-205-9074. So that you understand a little bit some statistics. Now, these statistics are a little old, as they typically are, you know, by the time the research is done and we are able to have the information. You know, it gets a little old sometimes. So I'd like to let you know that back in, of course, it depends on how you define disability, and we've been, as various people do it by the government, some have, you know, just through their doctor or through what they do. You know, we just recently had autism defined, and we've had hoarding defined, and we've had a couple of things defined as a disability. And the reason it's a disability is because people literally can't function in a normal atmosphere. So, you know, I want to understand that, you know, people aren't just finding themselves disabled because they don't want to work or they don't want to do or be somewhere. It is because it is actually debilitating and keeps them from doing some of the other things that, quote unquote, a normal person would do. Now, in 2011, there were 37.3 million people who were labeled disabled and in non-institutionalized areas. You know, that meaning, you know, they're not in places where there's mental issues and things like that where they can't get out to work and do what they need to do. So the numbers are actually even much higher for those. And then 18.9 million were age 21 to 64. So the people that were working. There's basically six different types of disabilities when you look at the definition of that. Some of the obvious would be visual. Those people who are blind or who have serious difficulty even wearing glasses. Now, I know a lot of people, when I lost my eyesight, they're like, how can you be blind? What's legally blind? What's, you can still see? Well, there's things that you can see and there's things you can't see. And basically what it is 2200 or worse in the better of the two eyes corrected with glasses. So sure, you can still see some things. You can see shadows. You can see some colors. But to try to distinguish them or to walk unaided without a cane or to be able to read correctly, no, you can't. It's impossible. The shadows don't necessarily tell you if it's a man, woman, friend, family, enemy, or anything else. You know, you might be able to tell by height or hear their voice. But that's not the only way to know someone being disabled. Now, then the other is by deafness. And again, you know, it's not totally that you can't hear anything, but it's that you can't really recognize the sounds that you're hearing, so that you can't actually function. Again, hearing, you know, you don't know whether you're hearing a car or whether you're hearing a dog bark, because it's not distinguishable. You just know it's a noise and you get out of the way. So under the ADA law, unfortunately, the government calls it a hearing impairment, and that is not a current or commonly accepted term among folks that are deaf or hard of hearing, which is the preferred term. But under ADA, you know, if it substantially limits a major life activity, if either current or past, if the employer regards or treats the person as if their hearing impairment was substantially limiting, there is a decibel issue with that, and that, you know, you take hearing tests and all that as well, just like you do with the eyesight and the vision tests. Come back to my page here. The other then is the cognitive or the mental pieces. And that would be, you know, serious difficulty concentrating, remembering things, making decisions because of a physical, mental, or emotional condition. Then the next, which is also, and a lot of times people don't actually see that disability to be able to define it. You know, it's one of those things that a lot of times, you know, depression or things like that, you know, we don't see that. We don't know everything that other people are going through. You know, so some of these are not visible to the average person. The next area would be the ambulatory. You know, you can't walk or climb stairs. You're missing an appendage or appendages that don't work properly. That is definitely an issue for, like I said, for driving, for things like that. The next would be self-care, you know, dressing, bathing yourself for whatever reason. And then the last one, again, it would be independent living, such as difficulty running errands or doing things by yourself, going to a doctor's office, all those kinds of things. You know, and some people have multiple disabilities as well. So it makes it even harder to be able to figure out what you need and how to adjust your life and ask for accommodations. And when I lost my eyesight, the toughest thing I had to do was ask for help. I wanted my independence. I wanted everything. I wanted to still drive a car. Yeah, right. That wasn't going to happen. I wanted to be able to go to the grocery store whenever I wanted, not have to call a cab or rely on the bus schedule or call a friend because I was going to be bringing home too much stuff. That was the toughest thing. So typically, you know, it's not easy for people to define themselves as quote-unquote disabled or to live under this law and ask for the accommodations. Even when I applied for a job, I thought, no, I can do this. This will be fine. I've got, all they have to do is get me a computer that magnifies. But that was not necessarily true. There was more to it than that. Because I continued to lose the eyesight. And it just got worse. So I couldn't just, jump all over that and make it and have it be easy and easy to figure out. Very often folks with disability have a harder time finding a job, as I said. You know, it makes it more difficult for them to be able to get a job because the employer does not want to be spending extra money. That's one of the things we're finding out with our vets. You know, we've got, you know, people are not staying in the military their whole life because they are disabled or, because they've got families and they want to be home with their families. And so it's not as easy for them to come home and then say, I need some help here to be able to help my family and deal with my family. I can only imagine. You know, here you've been working with your country. You have been fighting a war. You've been all of that. And then you come home and say, you know, I can't keep up my house because I've just lost a limb. Or I can't see correctly anymore. Or I can't hear correctly anymore. In the United States alone, in 2012, the percentage of people actively looking for work among those with disability and were not working was 10.8%. Now, that's higher than typically what we are in the United States. The average working age person with a disability, full-time, full year, was only $36,400. Those receiving SSI payments still 19.9%. And of our veterans who were disabled, 20.2%. Of veterans, 20.2% were determined to be disabled. And yet we have a lot of people, 82.8%. Again, this was in 2012, so that's changed since the new legislation went in for people with disability or people with any needing insurance. It was 82.8%. I find that phenomenal that they couldn't get insurance, which means they're not Medicare, Medicaid folks, for whatever reason. One of the largest, the state with the largest number of people having disabilities, believe it or not, is, showing here, the highest percentage was Arkansas, and then Alabama. And I don't know why that is. It was just kind of interesting. You know, one might think that it was where people retire, and that was not necessarily the case. So I found some of those statistics very interesting as I looked through the various websites to find some information. What do I want to do here with this? Let's see if our caller has called back on this. Again, if you want to call and talk, we've got someone on the line here. Anybody else, just press 1, and you are welcome to join the conversation by calling in 347-205-9074. And I don't know everything, so I'll tell you right now. I've just had, my experiences and some of the things that I have over the years. So I hope you share your experiences as well. And I'm going to put this one with area code 717. You just left, okay? It looked like you were wanting to speak, but okay. Apparently that didn't work that way. If you were trying to talk to us, please do call back in. We will put you on the air. Don't know what happened. It could be the switchboard. It could have been they hung up just as I was putting them on. I don't know. The joys of all of this. So, what the we are looking for at this point, is for everyone with the disability to be able to work, live, and be in a equitable society. So let's do a little bit of trivia. I'll give you some answers as we go through. You heard me saying at the beginning of the show, but I will do it anyway. Now, on what actual date was the Americans with Disabilities Act passed and signed into law? So, I'll give you a moment to think about what I had said. And then I will give you answers. Okay, the original Americans with, not the original, but what they now call the Americans with Disabilities Act, ADA, was passed and signed into law on July 26, 1990. Now, you also hear some other information about one that was passed back in 73, and that didn't have as much information in it, or did not, and that's the one I was actually dealing with when I was in school. So since that law became more stringent, it allowed more people to be able to get what they needed. Okay, so now that you know the year, how many of you know what president signed in that law? You have to go back and do your little work here. Now, the funny part about it is as I was talking about it while I was at this coffee shop, there's one employee here. I said, okay, we're going to be talking about the Americans with Disabilities Act. And, of course, they had no idea what it was, which is fine. They're very able-bodied. And I said, it's celebrating the 25th year. And her comment was, I wasn't even born then. So, that is true. Like I said, we're talking about people 21 to 64 for the most part when we do this. And most of the people involved, right now, don't even know what that is. Those folks that are first starting the workforce, they don't know what it was like to not have this legislation in their lifetime. So, of course, the president was George H.W. Bush. And he is the one that signed it in and said, this is the way it's going to be, folks. And from here on out, you will make the accommodations for people to work and live and get your services. I'm sorry, I need to double check my switchboard here and make sure everything is still online. I don't know what that little clicky thing was. Okay. I see we have another caller in here, and I'm going to hopefully, I know he's working, so hopefully he will be able to come in and talk to us. There he is. Okay, good. It's a good time to bring him in because he just hit the little one. Hello, Brian. Are you there?
Hi, Cindy. I am here.
Okay, great. Welcome to Purpose Talk Radio. I know you wanted to, you had some experiences with ADA. I've just kind of been going over some statistics and facts and some history here. And I don't remember when you were able to jump back on here, some of these folks that are in the workforce now don't even know what it was like before ADA existed. And I know you started your workforce and you didn't have to deal with it, but since then you have. So is there something that you'd like to share with us as far as, you know, how your life has been impacted by ADA and how your life in general has gone that brought you to the point of needing the accommodations, the act to be helping you?
Well, the interesting thing is it came into my sphere of experience in both partaking of it personally, but also interacting with it professionally, meaning when I first entered the workforce while in college, I was working at a construction firm in Madison, and I was in the signage department. This is 1996. So one of the new changes relative to the people who had been working there and were instructing me was that all of the signage for these ambulatory and medical office buildings that this firm would build, you know, design, build, and furnish, were that the signage all had to be of a certain format, of a certain size, and needed to include the Braille for anything printed on the sign itself. So it had the plastic base plate with the raised lettering and the embossed Braille piece below that of whatever was written on the sign itself. And this was a relatively new thing to them. A lot of them had been there for better than a decade, two, in some cases almost three. So the format of just the wayfinding and the signage for the interior of these buildings, because of the ADA legislation, was a relatively significant piece for a lot of architecture and interior buildings. And it didn't just, you know, medical, it was like everything. All interior signage for any public building had to conform to this. And, you know, that kind of was one of my first interactions with this, along with the powered doors, motorized doors that have the large circular plate that you push and the door automatically opens. That was something that became integrated into all public buildings that for however long, you know, was not a standard piece. You know, you go to the grocery store, you step on the plate, the door swings open, you roll your cart through, and so on. This became a requirement for all buildings to have this so that people with any manner of mobility challenge, wheelchairs, crutches, canes, what have you, could traverse the doorway in a sense where they weren't trying to ox themselves around a door that they had to operate themselves. So, you know, even before, in my case, the eyesight challenge came into play within the last decade, way, you know, in the sense of back in the 90s, this was all new territory and was a very significant piece of how the accessibility factor began to shape the way things were done, the way engineering had to be considered, the manners of which, in terms of designing and furnishing and putting these buildings together and making sure that they were accessible to people of all manner of either mobility or eyesight or hearing or what have you, were able to access all of these kind of spaces, in addition to other things in terms of written and audio and visual materials as well. But that was, at least, you know, in the early stages of ADA, one of my first exposures to it.
So when you put these buildings together, were you a designer, or were you the designer of these other accommodations, the signs and the
I was one of the technicians that was turning out the interior signs that would get placed within the interior of the building as it was being constructed.
Okay. So you might want to make sure is the, you know, a lot of these places now, then the design specs and things had to be changed too. Like I said, they were starting to go up. It's like, oops, now what?
Door width had to be a certain range.
Width had to be changed, right?
Yeah.
Right, as they went through to make sure that, you know, not just a standard wheelchair, but even the larger wheelchairs can get through them, you know, without cutting off people's hands and things
right.
like that.
A lot of the powered wheelchairs started becoming very prevalent at the time, so they were wider and to some extent heavier. And it had a different wheelbase than your standard, you know, just spoke wheel regular old with the armrest kind of ambulatory wheelchair.
Mm-hmm. So with the signage, and I was explaining this a little bit, but did you end up having to go back to some buildings, or did you find that a lot of places then started ordering these extra signs or new signs because they were required to change out their signs?
Effectively, the answer to that
new
is overall it's yes, because as you can imagine, in a medical practice, you have new doctors coming in, new staff, other staff are leaving. So to make things consistent, and even in terms of the aesthetic to the building, they were pretty much upgrading all of their signs, not just as they needed to, but they were going through and renovating all of their interior signage, not just the ones along the door, but all of the wayfinding ones, like radiology this way and hematology that way and elevator over here. Everything in the buildings was being redone, and that was a national thing. I mean, these guys had buildings all across the country.
Right, right. Okay. And, you know, and like you're saying a little bit before, you know, each, there is different parts. And a lot of times you hear something that says, you know, different parts of law, Title 19, Title 9, Title da 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 da. You know, before we go into, if you get a minute here on this, I don't think I've actually really said kind of more specifically what the Americans with Disabilities Act is. I kind of went into its history. But basically, you know, we've said before, it came into effect at, you know, July 26, 1990. But it basically is a civil rights law, just like your voting rights and that kind of thing, is, you know, school, education, all of that. But it specifically prohibits discrimination against individuals with disabilities in all areas of public life, including jobs, schools, transportation, all public and private places that are open to the general public. And the purpose of the law basically is just to make sure that people with disabilities have the same rights and opportunities as everyone else. You know, the original one had the five sections, Title I being employment, two being the state and local government, three being public accommodations, four being telecommunications, and five just anything else that they wanted to make sure fit in there, you know, use of drugs, attorney's fees, all that kind of stuff, and allowing them to do that. So, and as I mentioned earlier in the show too, a lot of those have been updated. They've added more sections, things like that since then. So how did you then directly become impacted by ADA, Brian?
In my case, my eyesight took a severe decline in between 2008 and 10, and you know, I had to learn to do things in a non-sighted fashion. So a lot of the assistive technology was a lot more developed at this point than had been in previous years, even, you know, into the early part of the last decade. You know, some of the screen readers and some of the other visual enhancement items were nowhere near or even available, you know, even 7-8 years, you know, prior to this. So learning to do things without looking, as it were, I came into a number of ADA-related pieces and assistive technology items, not to mention, you know, the mobility factor and getting around, orientation, transportation, things like that, that would just not be available had it not been for ADA legislation. And in terms of like mass transportation, part of ADA requires that any metro area that has a fixed route transportation system, like a bus or a rail or any type of thing, also must, by this federal law, also have a flex route, sort of like a door-to-door or curb-to-curb kind of a by, you know, charter kind of a thing. In Milwaukee, we refer to that as Transit Plus, where you have van service or discounted rate cab service that will pick you up and take you to where you want to go more precisely than coordinating where you want to go based on the fixed route of a particular bus line or, you know, multiple of those. So it's things like that that really became, in my case, you know, I stopped driving in 2010. I had already been using the bus system to some extent prior to that, but at this point it became much more of a you know, required kind of thing. I pretty much had to. Now we have alternatives to that as well, And a lot of these things are, you know, just natural progressions and results from legislation like that, that, you know, may have in some cases happened naturally on their own, just in the matter of meeting customer need or establishing a service that customers would respond to. But in this case, the legislation has produced a lot of these kind of services and opportunities where, you know, if they had just been left to their natural evolution, they might not have happened as much as dynamically, you know, as broadly, or possibly even at all. I mean, it's still a very narrow band of people that must take advantage of these things versus other people who would seek to incur these kind of things so that they can be taken care of. A lot of people need them. So the fact that the legislation in this, you know, particular kind of instance kind of preceded a lot of the accessibility and a lot of the opportunities that people can now take advantage of, it's sort of the if you build it, they will come. If you pass the legislation, these people can do. Not to say that, you know, it is one of those rare opportunities where the legislation actually does provide for something as a tangible benefit rather than creating more problems than it otherwise would. It's been a pretty effective instigation in making sure that those things can happen.
Well, you know, and the kind of, I don't know if it's ironic, funny, however you want to look at it. The interesting part is where you came in is also when ADA had a very significant and probably the most significant change of any of these years, being 2010 into 2012. And where they started looking at things such as recreational facilities, more on the public facilities, including, you know, the curbs, passenger loading zones, van parking spaces, handrails,
crosswalks, traffic signals,
bathrooms even, and, you know, the accessibility for how they're putting the sinks and the toilets and having room for that. All of that stuff, even bench sizes when you put things, transfer areas, all of that, and even hotels now being required to have something accessible for people as they go through it. So it was, you know, that was an interesting thing. A lot of it is only as much as 3 years old. March 15th, 2012, a lot of this came into effect.
And to that, a lot of communities, counties, and even the states themselves have kind of taken some initiative on their own. As an example, just down in Florida earlier this month, it seems that it must be like a state thing because every public restroom that has one of those family related areas, or like where you would, you know, with a baby changing station, they have their own independent sink and towel system within that section of the restroom. It's not just, you know, the thing with the door and that's it. It is the entire piece that has its own sink in there. And every public restroom was like that we encountered pretty much all over that area of Florida that we were in. So different states and local communities themselves can enact their own ordinances and legislative guidelines and rules that go beyond just even the federal component of ADA. So, you know, there's been some interesting innovation there and some improvement. And, you know, other states will sometimes follow suit on some of that kind of pioneering.
Right. Well, that's cool. You know, it also includes, of course, access to schools. Yeah, you don't see, you know, and one of the, I think I'm going to put this under an ADA. You know, some of the restrooms, since you brought up the restroom facilities, you know, they've got the, I don't know, somebody might clobber me on the politically correct, you know, the transgendered restrooms too, so that folks that of that culture don't feel out of place. You know, which bathroom do you use as you're, you know, transgendering, as you're not sure what you're going to do? If you don't feel comfortable in one place or another for whatever reason, you know, even that has kind of fallen under and been probably one of the most recent developments of restrooms, too. And I think part of that is why some of this family stuff has come in there, too. You know, who goes with, is it mom go with the girl, the dad go with the girl, all of that. How do you do that? And how do you make everybody, both those in the family as well as people not in the family, feel comfortable?
Yeah, as our cultural norms and typical kind of practices and behaviors, if you know, continue to grow and evolve and change, some of the language in 88 continues to play a role in that. So it's not just that it was enacted back in 1990 and everything has just kind of followed in a static form ever since then. As the culture continues to change, that language helps to ensure that those changes are being met with the kind of proper accordance.
Right. And it also reaches out to even folks in our correction facilities. You're going to have some people that say, oh, no, they can't. Well, yeah, they are. They're still human beings. They're still, you know, so they have the same kind of standards and they are treated with respect and with the same respect that anyone else in that correctional facility would be receiving respect. You know, so there may be some dissension on that, but again, it's like, so that is an equal treatment no matter what. And that too came with the changes for 2010, as well as, you know, being having tickets at accessible places on airlines and on buses and bringing service animals in and making sure there's adequate room for them. You know, they seem to squeeze into some strange places sometimes, but, you know, that there is appropriate room for them so they're not all scrunched up too and they can still do their job.
And even the landscaping and the geography of how even the exterior of places are, like sidewalk widths and the grade of how much the ramp incline or decline is and how wide that is and how big those cement blocks are so that you don't have these ridges all over the place, creating different tactile pieces so that people can tell when they are getting close to the threshold of a curb, and all manner of things like that. It's kind of an inside and out full change. And the educational aspect is another big piece as far as like schools and universities, colleges, and campus-wide, you know, like I say, the landscaping, the entire just how the map of the place happens to shake itself out and the planning of some of these things, how ADA ensures that a lot of that stuff can be made in an accommodating fashion for people of all manner of whatever kind of challenge.
You know, I think the other interesting piece is that I don't think the general public realizes how much they actually benefit from some of this too.
Right. Now, it happens kind of like without their notice, but at the same time, you could point to, see, that right there, that's because of ADA. You didn't even know, but that's what that is. Oh, okay,
right.
Yeah.
Well, even like you said, the sidewalks, you know, you're walking along, you know, making sure there is appropriate light on the sidewalk that you're going on, or, you know, that you can't just fall off the edge of the sidewalk. Because how many of us, you know, as we were growing up, stayed up a little too late, and we're a little too tired or a little compromised in other ways. I was trying not to go there. Yeah, I agree. Exactly. You know, and you, as you're walking, you know, you didn't go falling off the curb and rolling down the hill because there was a little bit of a ledge that just kind of woke you up or caught your attention, or there was a handrail somewhere. Whatever, all those things there, or, you know, the sound was loud enough of something or shrill enough, or how many of us have not paid attention anymore to fire drills or things, just go, oh, geez, that's just, okay, it's just the weather, it's whatever, you know, whereas now you've got some added attention and added things, even with emergency systems that are out there with the flashing lights going, okay, it's time to really pay attention to this. You can't just ignore it. So, yes, that might be for those who are deaf, hard of hearing, you know, a little learning disabled, whatever, but it's just as much for everybody else that says, okay, you can't just blow it off. It's for your safety and it's for everybody's safety with those. So it's kind of neat which things that overlap like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Well, was there anything specifically besides that you wanted to share today about your experience? You know, how did that impact you or anything?
It's more or less the technology advancement that we've seen since the mid-90s, I think, is one of the biggest factors that the ADA happened to predate a lot of that stuff. The internet, a lot of the computerization, a lot of the mobile device component. The interesting factor, I guess you could say, one of the most illuminating factors there being ADA predates all of these advancements that are so highly technology-oriented that we have today, and that how different would it have been is if you would have had the internet and then 10 years worth of development there and then put ADA on after that. It would have just, you know, thrown everything a lot more complicated than had, you know, what we've seen where ADA predates these things and everything that has developed has already got that established into the foundation of it.
True. All right. Cool. Well, I appreciate your comments.
All right. Thank you very much for the time, too, Cindy. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Brian. Catch you later.
Right. Yep.
Okay. Thank you, Brian, for joining us in the conversation, because it helped that I wasn't talking to myself and that you were able to hear a little bit of some other directions also. I have somebody here commenting in our chat room about being a disabled vet, and the VA is not supportive of that person. And I'm not sure if it's male or female, doesn't really matter, but I guess I would question, you know, right, if you'd like to come on the show, I'd love to have you participate if you can, or be a little more explicit. You know, have you been able to enact your rights through the VA of ADA, or is there, do you need some connections or resources of places, too, where you might be able to go to get those rights handled as female? Okay. Wondering if that is a possibility. We can direct you to, I probably should direct you again, to the site that I'm using a lot here is the ADA National Network. It has a lot about ADA in general. It also offers training for places that might need it, the history, you know, media coverage. You know, the other thing, get the media involved, folks. When some business knows that they might end up in the newspaper for something they're not doing that they're supposed to do, it's amazing how quickly things happen. Okay, unlike the post office that I started talking about at the beginning of here, you know, now that a lot of this has been updated since, like I said, I did it even before the 1990s law. It was 1973 law. So, you know, they are able to push it even harder now than they were able to before because of the updates that were made, especially in 2010 through now, 2015. So regions that the United States has broken into, and they can help with that based on a specific region or a facility in that area. You can get the research, the statistics, training, publications that you can give to your employer, your doctor, the VA, all of that. Can I ask what state you are in, Wainwright? Then I can maybe give you some answers on that to direct you to the right place on that. Anyway. Okay, folks, since I don't have anyone else coming in to comment specifically, until I get an answer to that. Oh, wait. Yeah, until I get some answers on that part, what I'd like to do is just again tell you that every week we are on Fridays at noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. in the UK. And if you've got some topics you'd like to hear about, let me know. Because there are a lot of things and a lot of ways that people are impacted as they try to live their purpose, not just what someone might think is general. I also want to incorporate positive news and people who are living their purpose, bringing positivity into the world as we continue through Positive News Month in July and off into the year beyond and years beyond that. So feel free to write me either at Cindy@PurposeTalkRadio.com, PURPOSETALKRADIO, and Cindy being CINDY, or at info@PositiveNewsDay.com, which is a little different from my website. I will get that other email set up soon. If you have positive news to share, please come over to the Facebook page and put it on there at Positive News Media. If you want to chat more about this topic, once the show is over, I invite you to the Facebook group, Purpose Talk Radio Conversations, because over there, we do continue this. I put the post at the top, but because I did most of the talking, I didn't have a lot of chance to share there, but I'd be happy to put some other information there as the week goes on. Let's see, what else? What other fun stuff do we have coming up? Like I said, next week we do have Diane Dandino as our guest again, as she talks about the workshop that she's got to offer. And I don't know, I've got somebody else coming up here at the beginning of August, and I cannot remember right now. I apologize for that. I'll have to take a look at that. We're also going to post this event over at the ADA celebration website, as well as on our talkradio.com website, so you can listen to it again. All of our shows are archived. You can listen to them at exactly the same place that you listen to the original. If you'd like to share it, feel free. Would love to have you do that. And if you want to sponsor a Purpose Talk radio show, we do have opportunities or marketing packages for you as well. So that we can have you bring your products and services to our folks. Okay, our songs that I will close this show. Oh, I'm sorry. Every week we do try to leave you with an affirmation of some kind. How can I leave you an affirmation on this topic? I think we'll do an affirmation about I am able to use the resources I am using the resources available to me. My hands are not wanting to spell correctly. Available to me to live a unassisted, I don't like that. To live my purpose. We're going to make it very simple. Wow. I ask Spirit for a thing, and that's what I get. I'm using the resources available to me to live my spirit, to live my purpose. I am using the resources available to me to live my purpose. There we go. Short, sweet, and simple. And the show, like I said, was brought to you by Diane, sponsored by Diane this week. And she will be back next week. And if you, the song first that we're going to play is the Positive News Day theme song. And following that, I will also share with you the theme song for Purpose Talk Radio, which is called I Am Who I Am. Both of the show songs essentially are by True Trinity, vocalist being Jillian Clark, and myself wrote the one song, and the two of us, along with Rachel Grace, wrote the Purpose Talk Radio theme songs. Yeah, just combining everything. So I hope you'll join us in all of these adventures. And as we move forward, you're hearing other noise in the background from the streets. Boy, you'd think they'd be right in this coffee shop, but they're not. That's okay. We love being here, like I said. So as we go forward, I wish you all soul blessings. Oh, wait, I'll check back in this chat room. Nope, no more comments in there. All right, great. And nothing on the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations Facebook either. So please join us there. And as we go forth this week, I wish you all soul blessings. Thank you for listening.
This is breaking news just in. The change has finally come. You can hear the voices on the corner shouting, positive news is here today. Positive news every day for the rest of our lives.
I feel a change is coming. Will be the change that's coming. Let's change perspective and be effective. We'll impact the world one story at a time. Believe it, achieve it, there's a story to be told. Positive news is here today. Positive news is here to stay. I feel the change is coming. We are the change that's coming. We'll find the positive, replace the negative. We'll see the ripples affect the world one story at a time. Believe it, achieve it, there's a story to be told. Positive news is here today. Positive news is here to stay. I feel a change is coming. We are the change that's coming. One person at a time, our thoughts will align. We'll see the universe flow, one story at a time. Believe it, achieve it, there's a story to be told. Positive news is here today. Positive news is here to stay. I feel a change is coming. Change is coming. Believe it, achieve it, there's a story to be told. Positive news is here today. Positive news is here to stay. We'll be the change that's coming. We'll see the change that's coming. We are the change that's coming.
I am me, I am who I am, I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me, I am who I am, I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.